This download is a recording of a meeting at the December 2008 Dublin Zine Fair. The session is one given by the Revolutionary Anarchist Feminist Group, or RAG. You can find more anarchist podcasts at the WSM website at www.wsm.ie.
Okay, so I was just going to tell you guys a bit about the history of RAG and who we are and what we do, and you guys can take a look at the three issues. This is the product of 3 years of, no more, oh my god, 4.5 years, I think, of being an organisation. So we've made some magazines. So I was just going to talk about the sort of history of RAG and why we started and why we decided to make a magazine. And I think the title of the workshop is Feminism and DIY Publication, so try and stick to that somehow. So the idea was really to get our voices out there. I suppose it just makes sense when you have all these ideas and you want to talk about them and you want to start discussion, it just made sense to write down what we were thinking about and to get people to read it and to start some discussion. So the group sort of formed with a few, I think it was just three people at the very start, and just talking about, like, they wanted to talk about feminism and there didn't seem to be a space for it. So it sort of came out of like anarchist and activist circles, and people really felt like the issues that we wanted to talk about and the things that we wanted to read about weren't there, and feminism was kind of seen like as a distraction from anarchism rather than like an inherent part of what we should be doing, you know. So we were kind of talking about, like, well, what do we want to say and what do we want to hear people discussing, and then we put together all these ideas. We had workshops and kind of developed our own ideas. So say somebody wanted to write about sexist emails that people kept forwarding them in work, and they were just getting sick of it and just kind of going, why do they keep sending me this? Like, they know that I don't want to read them. Why are people sending these emails? Why do they exist in the first place? Like, what are they trying to say? And like, so we kind of had a discussion about it, looked at some of the emails, and then out of that, this article was written for RAG number one. And I think those kind of, the reason that we don't take contributions, like, RAG is kind of, like, anyone can join RAG, but the articles are written by people who are members of RAG. And the idea behind that is that we can have those discussions, that, like, we're developing our ideas within our organisation, and that if someone has an idea and they want to write about it but they don't know where to go with it, or it's just something that they want to have in the magazine but they haven't really developed their ideas on it, that we can all talk about it and we can all contribute to kind of the process of them writing the article. So that, I think it's been like other people want to contribute, kind of outside people sometimes, and we haven't been doing that so far, but we're planning, I think, to have a section on our website where people can send us articles and we'll put them up on the website instead of putting them into the magazine. I don't remember if there's anything else I want to say. And yeah, so basically at the end of, it took us a year and a half to kind of get our courage and our ideas and everything developed to get to put out the first issue there, Civitas. And it was like quite scary when it was in our hands and we're going, oh my god, what are we going to do? People are going to read this. And we're afraid of kind of what the reaction was going to be to some of the things that we were writing about, because obviously we really cared about the issues that we're writing about, and we felt like some of the things were kind of provocative or something, like people were going to react when they read it. So the good thing was people did react when they read it, and there was like lots of discussion going on, lots of people really pissed off, which is always a good sign that you're doing something right.
What kind of stuff pissed people off most? Who were the people that were pissed off?
It was on, there was an anarchist, well, there was an anarchist website, LibCom, and there was like five or six different threads going on, everyone just like discussing and debating and arguing. The first issue, we had a lot of stuff in there around sexual violence, and I think those articles and stuff around like sexism in the workplace, and like I think people were pissed off that like that we were writing about feminism and not about anarchism, I think, or like that was our leaning or something. People were saying that there wasn't enough kind of class-based critiques of society, that there wasn't enough anarchism, that we'd gone too far towards the feminism side or something. Yeah, people didn't... I don't know, that it was too American, that... I don't know, all kinds of weird things.
What?
I don't know.
I think
that would probably mean focused around identity politics, because in terms of the way British anarchists LibCom tend to be populated by C things, identity politics is an American thing. So.
Yeah.
Just explain.
I just think they're using to American as an insult. It's like,
yeah.
It's like saying, I know what it means, but it's almost like saying to Icelandic. I don't know.
Then there was some stuff, I suppose, about how we deal with issues of like if somebody's raped among people that you know and that you work with politically, how that's dealt with. And people really didn't like the idea that you would do anything other than go to the police, which was kind of like not a very anarchist way of looking at it, I would have thought, you know. But for lots of really good reasons, people were debating and arguing about how you would react to a situation like that, or just sexism within anarchist organisations, or I think there was a lot of like reaction to making any kind of difference between male experience and female experience. And like, I guess people who are anarchists and they want to change the world and they want everything to be equal, and they're thinking that like that they are on the right track or that they have the right ideas, and then for us to be going, actually, like, you're leaving out a huge chunk of society here with 50% of the population, and you're not dealing with so many issues that are relevant to us. So yeah, people got pissed off, I guess. I thought it was really cool that people were getting pissed off. They were really excited about it. So then, yeah, I don't know, every article that I'm looking at here people had reactions to. So like Shona wrote this one about childbirth and her experience of having a baby in a hospital in Dublin, and people were saying that she was advocating for the abolition of medicine or something, you know, that like that she was saying that the whole that we shouldn't have developed in a way where like we have the level of like technology and medicine that we have now, and she never says anything like that in the entire article. I think people make things up that they think that you're saying and then argue against it. So there was a lot of that going on.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I wanted to say that I actually did hear, that's the only article that I've known someone like complaining about from the RAG. And it was actually a very similar thing, because like I heard a complaint before I actually read the article. I was like, oh, okay. I read the article and then the complaint made no sense. It's literally like, no.
Because I read one of the things somebody wrote, and I kind of thought, oh yeah, maybe she is doing that. And it was like some word that they were using, like, like that she was pushing for this kind of for going back to the way things used to be before there were hospitals and all this kind of thing. And like she never says that.
Yeah.
And like having given birth and had a
natural
child, obviously
birth process, that's another concept. It's not one.
Yeah.
Like maybe not large, but sections of society don't want to hear natural birth. And
yeah.
large sections of medical practice doesn't want to hear natural birth. Natural birth can take place in a hospital
yeah.
with all available to the women.
And all she was actually saying was that she felt like she had no control over what was going on and that it was really scary for her. And like, I don't know, I guess people read things and they read what they want to, and people still talk about the dodgy article in Rag One, because there was some stuff in here that's in like a side column on one of the pages that had something about, it's kind of about setting your own boundaries, and if you don't feel safe, that you shouldn't be in the situation, you know. So like if you're hanging out with someone and they're making you feel uncomfortable, like just leave. Don't worry about hurting people's feelings, because like you have to put your safety first. And and there was some stuff in there about like different things, like people keep talking about this, that we had a list of how to spot a rapist, and
that's
that we had like
as well.
Someone who makes inappropriate jokes and blah blah, and like and it was kind of like something that's built up in people's heads that they actually think that was in the magazine, and then Shona scanned in the page and put it up on the internet where there was this argument going on, oh yeah, remember that article, and then people read it and were like, oh you didn't actually ever say that. Oh, like, not that they would say sorry after that, but but they kind of had to roll back on everything that they had said, but it was getting people talking, you know.
Do you think there were deliberate misreadings, because people were so resistant to the idea of feminism having space in the discussion, or was it just kind of misinformation that just kept going around?
I really think that a lot of, like, I mean, the rape article that Deirdre wrote, I think it was in the first one as well, wasn't it? And the article that Shauna wrote as well, are both topics that people are really scared to talk about. There's huge fear and stigma around these things, that it's like, that people just, it evokes a lot of reaction out of people for very different reasons. And like, Shauna's article was reproduced in, I think, the latest issue of Adbusters. And online there's like threads and threads of like huge reactionary response to her article, and it's all about fear, like really, and her article actually like talks about fear a lot, and it's like this just huge reaction to fear. And I think it's really strange how these particularly feminist issues get such angry, exclusionary and undermining responses from so-called like anarchist and sometimes queer and sort of so-called open-minded communities, you know. It's like there's huge resistance to actually having a space to discuss these issues that affect women, you know. And like that rape article where it sort of talks about, you know, I don't know, even like it's been so long since I read it, but this column where it's like, you know, people kind of misconstrued it to be sort of how to spot, you know, a sexual abuser or whatever. It's like I couldn't finish that article because it like rang so clear to my own experiences that it was just so crazy. Like
same with me.
Yeah, it's mad.
But I think if things are getting people talking, like, I mean, I think people are gonna react to things that they read, and like, and even if they're misconstruing what the article says, like they're arguing about it and they're talking about it and it's getting them thinking. So I don't know if it is on purpose or kind of like, I just think it's a pity sometimes if people pick one small thing that's in a side column of one article and use that as a reason to dismiss everything that anybody ever says about feminism. And but unfortunately, like, that does happen.
Sorry, I just have a comment.
Go ahead.
I don't. there may not be anybody with malicious intent, you know, to get out and pull out everything, you know, that just words out of context and throw argument, as Emily put it, fear is a big part of it. It's also, as a lot of you, when a publication has such contagious, controversial articles, it's also good to reflect what's out there as ideas against feminist issues, because people won't easily, in isolation, come out and say, I am against women, you know, or, you know, I do hate women. They won't say these things. These are, because you may have experienced, all of us may have experienced, you'd come up with an example of abuse or sexism or discrimination, and the most of your friends or your circle and yourself would be surprised. Is that happening now? It is happening, and we see it, the reflection of it, those ideas and where the power comes from in these discussions and threads as well. We also had a, not too significant maybe, but significant in terms of how collective is perceived. We there was a comment on in the media asking how radical we were and who's setting up the radical. I think there's this, because we're anarchists, there's an attached violence image there. We can't prove we're radical enough unless we get out and smash some windows. How about writing an article about how to spot a rapist and childbirth in this totally sterile environment, you know? I think that's pretty radical and requires a lot of balls to get out there and write that and put it out to public, so...
But there was a lot of really positive feedback from the first issue as well, and like even now that article about childbirth got put in Adbusters, we're getting emails like constantly from women across the States who are going, like they all kind of start, I read your article and I cried, and it's just kind of like, and then they tell their whole story of their own childbirth, or like some of them had to get cesarean sections when they didn't feel they were necessary, like all kinds of really crazy traumatic things that have happened to people, and every couple of days there's a new email coming in, and Joan is just like, oh, like totally bombarded with them. It's really exciting that people are reading it, and I think that writing is such a powerful thing, and writing about your experiences is such a powerful thing. And like, I meant to say at the beginning that like there's some kind of this history in feminism of zines and of DIY publications, and like I meant to bring in the Documenting Irish Feminism's book, but that like feminists since like the 60s and 70s and whatever have always been making pamphlets, making zines, writing things and distributing them, and that's like, it's such a great way to get your ideas out there, and I think a lot of it has to do with misrepresentation in the mainstream press as well. Like if you are doing things and other people are commenting on them, then you can get completely misrepresented, and like bands like Bikini Kill and stuff in the Riot Girl, they would have just been like, we don't want anything to do with mainstream press, the only things that we will do will be DIY publications, because they were getting misrepresented as being like little girls who are like fighting tough in a punk band, and it's just like, fuck you, that's not how we want to be seen. So they started writing their own stuff and like only ever being like dealing with independent publications, and it's harder to do, obviously, when you're walking into shops going, we made this and will you sell it for us, and they're like, no, like and even shops like I was really surprised on the keys, the Winding Stair, you know, the Winding Stair on the keys, and they look so cool, like the shop just looks really old school, and that, I always just thought it was really nice, they have a couch and everything, and I went in and was like, oh yeah, we write this magazine and would you stock some copies, and they're like, oh, we don't take independent publications, and I was like, oh no. And they have like this little book on a table in there that says like, any books that we don't have, write them down and you'll get them. I
was like,
The old wine's terrible, yeah. Yeah.
Can I move in again before you move on to this item? It's also like wipe application site. Emily and Marion would be able to talk more. So I'm a new member. Publication was already there, and it was really a great idea for me to go on and have a look and observe what was going on. But there was a political reason for lights of me, I suppose there will be in the future as well. If you're also active in anarchism, it's one of those admitted and discussed but not properly resolved issues. The feminism is like in an internal website, so to speak, is a trade. In a publication, a topic, site, you know, satellite topic. But we don't have, most of the time, we don't have huge, we don't include the feminist struggle and feminist change hugely in strategy and planning for future in anarchist organizations. More radical it is, less inclusion there is as well. That was the thing brought me in. And the other thing is I belong to a very diverse community, and pretty much anarchists, feminists and not feminists alike are pretty much the only totally free environment where you can bring your diversity issues as well. So those were the attractions for me. Obviously, the platform was pretty much open door. Once I was open to become a member, the platform was open to me and to anybody who felt writing or expressing ideology through this. So those were attractions as well.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I think that since the early publications of Irish feminism started and up until now, there's been a huge backlash against it because people think that feminists are kind of making a mountain out of a molehill, you know, and there's no reason for anyone to, you know, what do you, they think it's just complaining, you know, but when you look through something like RAG, you can read the articles and relate to it, you know, and it's not just women bitching about society, you know, or this man thought I was a sex object, what a dickhead, you know. It's there's so much more to it that people don't realize, you know, and it makes me really sad to think that there's so many people who cast off the magazine without reading it, like you were talking about, you know, instantly dismissing an article because of something they heard without actually seeing what it's really about.
I was gonna say a bit about the process then of actually publishing the magazine, if you guys are interested in hearing about that. It's kind of changed then. We do all of the layout ourselves, the images. This was done by a friend of ours who was in RAG, and she's left Dublin, so she's not anymore.
Do you do that in InDesign, or do you do what?
This time we used Quark, but these two were done on InDesign. But we had some problems with InDesign. Horribly pixelated. You want to think about it. Anyway, this is what happens when you have your deadline and you just have to stick to it and you just have to put out whatever. Anyway, we did all the layout of the articles, and the first one we got published in England because we wanted to use this a workers co-op, and they do recycle paper, and the paper was really nice and everything about the organisation was really cool, but working with them actually turned out to be a bit of a nightmare. Just different mistakes that were made in the actual laying out. They kind of put this image over the writing, so the first 1,000 copies, I think, the writing stops here, and we had to put in stickers and put in inserts, and oh, it's a horrible but it turned out like, other than that, it turned out like as well as we could have expected, but we've been kind of slowly learning as we go more and more about how to use those programs, how to lay things out. So I think they kind of, the layout has been slowly improving in the magazines as we've gone. And we decided not to use this group anymore. The main reason is just that they don't normally do A4 sized publications, so they can't do bleed, which means the magazine, the print doesn't go all the way to the edges of the page. And so they moved things in and moved them on top of other things and kind of messed up a lot of our layout. And we were also thinking, why are we getting them done in the UK? Because like, then they have to like travel across them. It would be better to get them done locally. So with Rai2, we got it printed in Dublin, and we're using the same person again. It turned out better, I think. The editing of the articles as well is a collective process. Not so much for, well, we kind of, our ideas of how we do the magazine sometimes are different from the reality, but the idea is that we want everything to be a group process, and it's all about like someone writes the article, or people bring in first drafts or have written things that they can't finish, or they're stuck and can't write a conclusion, and we like sit down, read it, discuss it, and try and help them to do that. So the editing as well, there's lots of like sitting around in a group arguing about commas and semicolons and like whether you should put the numbers or as a word, and like completely wrecking our heads for months and months with stuff like that.
Many sleepless nights for the likes of Marianne and Sean.
But that was something that we were kind of committed to doing, was this collective editing process. But we, this year we're going to start rethinking the way that we were doing things, because it's a lot of a commitment and it's a lot of time to put in. And if I had had a job when we were putting out this magazine, if Eve had had a job, I don't think it would have happened, because it was really full time, get up in the morning, work in the magazine all day, like fall into bed completely exhausted. So it's not sustainable, I think, to be doing something that's that full on.
We're really like seriously trying to reorganise ourselves like for the next issue, for issue 4, because it's really important for us to have a discussion based group, you know, and actually give ourselves time to explore the issues we're interested in writing about, and that really didn't really happen like for Rag3. And I suppose it's also like about skill sharing, so about layout and editing skills and, you know, artistic skills and kind of getting involved in learning about the printing process in general, like, and that we really want to maximise those opportunities for each other as well. So we're trying to like become more organised for the next one.
Yeah.
In that respect.
Yeah, we kind of did fall away from our ideal processes for issue 3, just because we only had 2 months or something after we organised a feminist gathering in Leitrim in May, and it took up a lot of our energy. And we also helped organise the feminist walking tour on International Women's Day last year, and then we had lots of kind of other stuff going on, and people were away, and people were busy, and then coming up, our deadline is the Anarchist Book Fair in London, to get each, or has been for these three anyway, to get the magazine out by. And if we found that like if we don't set ourselves a deadline and really stick to it, like we could be forever, and like it's a year, so it couldn't be, how hard could it be, you would think, to put out a magazine in a year, but it's actually, yeah, it's not easy. And also we kind of forgot about distributing issue 2 once we had finished with it, so now there's boxes of it lying around, but we'll get on it with issue 3. So yeah, that's basically the printing process and the layout and the editing.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
With the Dublin printer, did you find someone that also did recycled paper? I know that glossy doesn't
take me. Don't talk to me. This wasn't the paper that we asked for. This wasn't the cover that we asked for. This was nothing like what we were expecting it to look like. So, again, the problem wasn't really... was that we were pushing our deadline again and we were getting it into the printers a few days before. And we had specified what paper we wanted, but I guess we needed to re-specify and it came back on glossy, non-recycled paper. He does... like, he can order in paper, this is recycled, but yeah, it's not a workers' co-op, it's like a business, and it wasn't, it's not like the ideal, but we got a really good rate on it, so he's a brat. I think we can order our own paper as well, and he'll do it on different paper if we wanted, but yeah. We could get, like, if we had time and we could plan it, everything would be a lot better. And this year, issue 4 is going to be the year, because we're going to be so organised. I can feel it. Does anyone have any other questions, or have I missed anything that was meant to talk about?
How long are we actually having a workshop for? 45 minutes or an hour?
An hour.
An
hour, mm-hmm. Yeah. So might be a good chance. We do have a public meeting on the 5th of January on feminism and disability issues in Shawna Street. Not to be confirmed, that's, you know, venues to be confirmed, but you see it on the media, I suppose, when it's all organised.
Yeah.
So that's like one of the four plans.
Yeah.
Hopefully to repeat it once a month, and ideally we should be holding one public meeting, but that didn't work throughout in the last 2 months up to the print. It's almost impossible. But the next one is on disability, so.
Okay. Yeah, we do have open meetings. That's kind of the idea, is like depending on what the article is and whether people want to discuss it in an open meeting or not, we try to host open meetings every month. And they'll hopefully be on issues that somebody is going to write about in the next magazine as well, so people can, ideas can come out of those and feed into the magazine too.
You excuse me, I don't want to leave a stall alone just for you, okay? Thank you all for coming.
Yeah, that's cool.
I know some people here that are a friend of mine who also produce fanzines and stuff, and I don't know if anybody wants to like talk with their own interests or experiences or stuff. Yeah.
Well, this is not a thing that I made, but it's relevant to the feminism DIY publishing. Are people here familiar with this American publication? I have an issue here, so I'm going to put it around, called Bitches Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
People know it. If you want to have it around. And the reason why I'm pointing it out is because Bitch, well, it's now a relatively big but it's a non-profit, and it started off as a zine, it is still a small independent publication. It's not, you wouldn't define itself as anywhere near anarchist. It's basically just like popular culture criticism for the most part. But the reason why I'm pointing it out is because it's completely, it's an unabashedly feminist magazine. And again, it's a not-for-profit, and it's been going for a good while. And I think it shows, like, that it can, that yeah, that it is like kind of difficult, but that it is actually possible to just like get things going. And of course, they're in the States, where you have like a lot of, there's a big enough, for instance, the magazine runs a lot on ad revenue, and that's really possible for them because there's enough. Feminist shops. There's enough people willing to sponsor it. They actually got some trouble because they were having ads for a feminist sex shop on the back of the magazine. People were like, "I can't be on the bus like with the dildo sticking out of the back." but it's great, and actually, I have to say personally, what I love about it is that they don't flinch from a lot of topics, and they present a lot of points of view. Some that I would object to, some that I agree with, you know, and it's very, I don't know, it's very diverse. But on the other hand, you know, not to be completely idealistic, recently they had to do when you need money to do something and you need to collect a fundraising site. Thank you. Sorry. They had to do a fundraising because they had no money to polish their next issue. So they did their fundraising through the internet, and this was the great thing. They had a goal. I don't remember what their goal was. And all of a sudden, like this, like sort of totally exploded over the net. And before they realized, they had like 3 times as much money as they asked for. So they had enough for the next 2 issues instead of for the next 1 issue, and they had lots of new subscribers.
Can I ask you a question? I'm just wondering, like, one thing that just occurred to me when you said, like, the diversity of the topics explored or whatever. Like, do they have conflicting ideas in the magazine? Is there kind of, like, different perspectives or...
Because the magazine doesn't present itself as having a perspective. Because, for instance, Rag would have an anarcho-feminist perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Bitch has it's just a general feminist perspective. It's pretty much journalism. So for example, like they can have like in one issue they'll have an article that's very anti-sex work. In the next issue they may be interviewing someone that's very pro-sex work.
Yeah.
You know, because they're trying to present all the different, sides on things as they come up.
Because one of the reasons why we like to try and organize discussions is to kind of explore the different perspectives on a topic, but I don't think we try to kind of have like a sort of general rag group perspective on issues, is it, before we publish it, or how does that work?
No, like, cause I don't think I know that there's things that have been in the magazines that I would be like, I don't think we're not like a platformist, we don't have one perspective, and like everyone is an individual who has their own interests and ideas, and like I don't think we can ever say that we're going to agree 100% with everything that's in the magazine, so like it's just up to people to write themselves, and like we are exploring the ideas more, and like maybe if you had a criticism of something someone's writing, that's the place to kind of be like, I don't agree with that, but like I don't think we would. Like, I guess it's never really come up that anyone's written anything that we really don't agree with. Obviously, if it's not anarchist or feminist, or like if it's anti feminist.
Sorry, because Farag is an anarchist feminist publication, do you think that limits the readings, or do you think that if it became. I'm not giving an end at that, I'm just saying that if it would be a wider publication, it would be wider distribution if it kind of catered from what people who weren't of that political leaning. I don't know, or is. That's just. Because like something like this would cater for other people, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it very much to the anarchists that it like?
I think that the sort of aim is to bring more feminism into anarchism and to bring more anarchism into feminism.
Mm-hmm.
Like we think we're right. It's a really specific magazine about something that's really specific, but it's what we believe in, and like you can't write about everything from every perspective. So I think there's people out there, like since Rag started up, there was a lot of people who were like, wow, like I really am into that, but I don't know anything about anarchism, I don't really want to know anything about it, but I'm a feminist. And so Lashback is a new feminist group who started in Dublin, who are also going to bring out a magazine, and they're amazing, and we're doing loads of work with them, and they just don't identify themselves as anarchists, so they're doing a social justice feminist magazine. There is that magazine, there's, I think, like...
No, I do agree that there, like, just my experience of anarchism generally is that it was generally very misogynist and very, like, they didn't consider themselves, they would consider themselves because they're anarchists, I'm like, of course I'm feminist, I think everyone's equal, but it wasn't like that at all, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very male, kind of dominated.
Yeah, I kind of have arrived at anarcho-feminism after like kind of travelling through lots of different, like, you know, sort of systems of understanding and blah blah blah, and it's like oh god, the thought's coming out of my head now, but I suppose it's like the recognition that a radical change needs to happen, but also confronting the stigma around anarchy as well, like, because anarchy is so imbued with like heavy associations of
you know, chaos and violence, and but it's actually not about that at all. It's in fact it's about huge openness and constant reinvention and, you know, like
organization.
So it's kind of like reclaiming that space for anarchy as well, you know, as a recognition that things have to change completely in order for us to be truly, you know, happy, and like for equality to actually, you know, come about, you know, true equality, you know, for people and justice for people.
So there was something just before we finished that popped into my head there, was that earlier on there was a lot of discussion about the criticisms that there have been of the magazine, and like I think criticism is a really good thing, and there were a lot of things that people said to us about the first issue of Rag that made us go, oh yeah, like we really didn't address that, or we really should have put something in about this, or like we're only coming from one perspective and like we're trying to address those, like a lot of it is constructive criticism, so it wasn't like a negative experience of people criticizing. Rag 2, however, got very little reaction at all. I think the main focus was abortion, and it's one thing that, like, in anarchist communities, it's kind of like, yeah, of course, there should be abortion. Like, so nobody goes, what are you doing writing about abortion? So it just kind of went...
So I guess you have to get into the hands of anti-choice people so you can get those emails back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Round them up.
I don't think they would pick up that.
I just remember I need to make good on my promise to you to write criticism of everything.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, so feedback, we need to buy issue 3 and give us feedback.
But I think you're right, like that's a real sticker because it's like, you know, how to escape the whole idea of, you know, looking behind labels, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, this information
would
be readily available.
It would put me off, but it would put some people off. It was like anarchist, you know what I mean? Like,
or just feminist.
Yeah, or even just feminist. The word just puts people off. Like, girls wouldn't even consider themselves.
Politics, like.
Politics, even just the word politics puts people off. Everything. Yeah. I think people kind of need to be re-educated on feminism and on politics and what that really is in schools and be more active about it. Not like, you know what I mean? Not just a very small publication that only gets to a small group of people in a community that's into anarchism. It needs to kind of get more active and into schools and teach boys to be proud to say they're feminists as well, you know what I mean? But like, that's not going to happen because it's like an issue that people don't really address anymore.
I just want to point out that I see what your point is, and I agree that feminism needs to like be to really become more widespread, stop being a bad word as it is in the media.
Yeah.
But what I want to point out is that like. I mean, the anarchist community as a political movement may seem very small in Ireland, but it's very active in social change in many places all over continental Europe. And it struck me when I went to Berlin over the summer that I was in a lot of big anarchist spaces, like looking at all the different publications that I didn't understand anything of, because I was German. And like the only big feminist publication that I saw was The Rag, and I was like, on the one hand, I was like, that's great, like The Rag is actually reaching people all, you know, across Europe. But on the other hand, like, you know, Berlin, which is a huge, long-established anarchist community, which has been involved in social change in a big way in Germany, I'm sure that there are other anarchist feminist publications, but there aren't that many.
Do you
and
think
this...
it reaches all classes, though? Do you know, I think it only reaches, I think, like... anarchism, can people relate to it from a working class situation? Who wouldn't have a huge interest in politics? Kind of would need to be reached to these communities that a lot that wouldn't get involved generally in these things because they wouldn't have the time or the energy to do it.
Well, things like the WSM kind of, you know, reaches less, and that's pretty big, or like, you know, is around enough for everyday people to come across it, you know? I think that, I think you should definitely, like, I think it's important to identify as an anarcho feminist if you feel that way, and not to cast it off because people might not like it, you know?
People who are in Rag, like, Rag is like a publishing collective, and like, I think like, we can't be everything and do everything, you know. And so we had to go, what do? Right, we hold open meetings, we have discussions, we write a magazine, and we try and get the magazine out there. But, like, people who are in RAG are also in the WSM, they're also in Choice Ireland. We do lots of other things that are, like, going on the education march and stuff like that, where you're out with lots of people. And, like, I think we're limited in the scope of what we can do as an anarchist feminist magazine, but, like, I think there's not very many people doing what we're doing. And, like Ariel was saying, there are other, I'm sure, anarcho feminist publications, but it's like when we went looking, it's not easy to find them. And there's one Polish one called Witch, and everything else that I know of has started since RAG. Like, that there wasn't really much out there when we were. No kind of regular anarcho feminist magazines, anything like that. So. But there's more stuff happening all the time. It's really exciting. Actually. Lots of men's feminist groups popping up around New Zealand, and a couple in London. There's a men's feminist group and
a new anarcho-feminist group in London.
Yeah, a new anarcho-feminist group in London.
And even like the visibility of women at the anarchist book fair in London. Like, I mean, apparently there was pretty much no women the first of the RAG years that they've been there, like, or we've been there. But the last year or this year when we were there with issue 3, it was like, you know, a new anarcho-feminist group, far more women with stalls or women, like.
Do you think the majority of men?
Yeah, well, like, with
first
RAG
one we went to was crazy.
Like, pretty much.
Well, you know, it's not the anti-abortion things, like, well, most of them are men, you know what I mean? Like, it's men generally get very active and dominant of these things, you know what I mean? And
to know there's a lot of women involved in that.
I guess, like, the point I'm making when I say that is that, like, things are changing and the world is so vast, and it's like, you know, there's so many ideas, you know, that, and people, like, invested in different ideas, and it's like, really, we kind of I really enjoy the fact that we're creating our own networks and that new people come along and go away and move through it, like, and it's, you know, change is happening, like, within our own worlds as well, like, you know what I mean? As well as trying to change the world or change, like, make this information more available, it's, like, really impacting on people's lives as well, like, in our own lives or whatever.
This download is a recording of a meeting at the December 2008 Dublin Zine Fair. The session is one given by the Revolutionary Anarchist Feminist Group, or RAG. You can find more anarchist podcasts at the WSM website at www.wsm.ie.